episode 66.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here are your hosts, Tom DeLong and Joshua Erickson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Thriving in Singleness. Hey Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Tom. Another episode down.
Another episode
down,
yeah.
How are you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Such an awesome conversation about, of course, singleness. You know, talking about a lot of things with Courtney, and she really touched... I don't say touch. She hit hard on the realities of like, this isn't easy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a real struggle. Like, even if you're doing your singleness well and you're trusting God with it and you're doing all the things that God is calling you to do, like, there's still going to be pain evident in that.
Yeah.
And that's an okay thing. So I thought it was really great that she touched on that, and we were able to talk a little bit more about that in the episode. It really, that part of it happened pretty late. Early on, we talked a lot about, you know, dating yourself and going out and just doing the things you enjoy and being comfortable in your singleness to where you can go in and just have fun by yourself, which is totally okay. Like, don't wait around for somebody to make your life interesting. So Definitely fun conversation on that.
Yeah, I think two things for me. Vision, I think, is something that if you're a single person, it's something you got to fight for. Like, there's a lot of things you have to fight for when you're single. I don't think we talk about it enough on the difficulties of singleness and the struggles that you go through. Because I think a lot of people just think, oh, you're single, you have all the time in the world, you're not really, you don't have to worry about anyone else. And there's a lot of, I think we touched on it in this episode too, towards the end, just the difficulties and the grief that's involved. But there's a lot of things you have to fight for when you're single that maybe you don't think about, or maybe people don't encourage you to fight for, but if you don't fight for them, then they can be some of the things that make singleness really difficult. And I think vision is one that's way up there, because if you don't have vision, then a lot of things start falling apart because you don't know what you're aiming for. You don't know what you're aiming towards. So I think I was really, really encouraged by just hearing another person talk about vision and kind of their interactions with it, their relationship with their vision for their life. So yeah, it was good to really kind of get into the depths of kind of some of the emotions of singleness and kind of the realness behind some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a solid episode. So really excited for everybody to hear this one. So let's go ahead and we'll bring in Courtney. Courtney, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well today.
Awesome.
Doing great. How about y'all?
Fantastic. And I love that y'all accent. So where are you from?
I'm from East Tennessee, Knoxville specifically.
Knoxville. All right.
I've lived here for 6 years, okay. Total of 18. This is my third time living in Knoxville. So,
all right.
You know, there we go. But I'm a Southern girl through and through.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, you probably can't like pick up the y'all in just 6 years. You must have been just like a Southern, yeah. lifetime Southerner, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I moved around a lot when I was little, and my parents are from up north, but I just really wanted to fit in, so I just picked it up, so here
nice.
I am.
That's awesome.
I have a
Got
question.
The accent and everything.
I've never met someone from West Tennessee. I always hear people say East Tennessee. Is there a western part of Tennessee?
Tennessee is a very long state.
It is.
The thing about Tennessee, it's so long. And I was having a discussion with this. Actually, I was in like a Facebook group of singles for the state of Tennessee. And they were like, why do we, like, I see all these other states and like they do stuff together, like statewide stuff. Why don't we? And I was like, because it's over 6 hours from end to end. Like, do you know how many other states I can get to before I get to the other side of Tennessee? Like, I could be in Florida. I could be in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I could be in Arkansas. I could be Ohio. I could be like all over the place before I get to the other end of Tennessee. And it's two separate time zones, which I just thought was a normal thing, like learning how to navigate. Okay, like they live in the same state, but we drive over time zones all the time. And it wasn't until I went to college in Florida, that people were like, wait, how do you do that? And I'm like, Yeah, it's wild. I guess people are used to flying over time zones, but driving over time zones is a very different, like, it really messes with your mind.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, Josh, you say you haven't met anybody in, like, West Tennessee.
Well, at least people don't reference it. That's my thing. I've heard a lot of people say I'm from East Tennessee, but I haven't heard anyone ever say from West Tennessee. Is that
right? I have heard of people walking in Memphis. Talk about,
yeah, I think definitely people may just say Memphis. Yeah, you're right, though. If people don't live in Memphis, where do they live in West Tennessee?
I got family about an hour from Memphis, middle of nowhere, Tennessee, for sure.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, on the map, it's Finger, but they live near that. That's the known point, Finger, Tennessee, of all names. And then, but their postal code is Bethel Springs, to be more specific. But yeah, Bethel Springs, so...
Okay, dokie.
Yeah. Just curious because I've heard East Tennessee a lot. So I was just curious. I've never heard someone say they're from West Tennessee.
I feel like I have to say because I just feel like when I talk about where I live and I'm from Tennessee, people automatically assume Nashville. Mm. And Nashville is like very different. I mean, it's a different time zone. So like it's just very different. So I just assume that people just need clarification.
Yeah, it must be just like there's East Tennessee and then there's Tennessee. Just like there's New York City, and then all the rest of New York is upstate New York. Doesn't matter how far south in the mainland New York you are, like, you're upstate New York.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I would love to hear if anybody has any other opinions on this that is listening. I would love to hear.
If anyone's from West Tennessee, let us know.
Let's hear it.
Let us know.
But yeah, but yeah. Let's dig in. So, like, Courtney, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do. And, you know, what God has been teaching you in singleness. We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. Well, that feels like such a simple question, but it's a very loaded question.
Loaded.
What do I do? So I juggle and I wear a lot of different hats. I am an
aunt. Do you also unicycle?
I don't. Or do you just juggle? But, okay, but here's the thing about juggling, though.
We just need to get this episode.
I have to tell this bit. Okay. You got me off on a tangent here. But I'm a formal musical theater kid. That's something about me.
Okay.
Entertainer by DNA. Like, it's just in me. Mm-hmm. And so in theater classes, my theater professor taught us all how to juggle. Like, we could not pass the class unless we learned how to juggle, because he said if you're going to go out into the theater world, like, you need a skill that no matter what is going to put you one step ahead of everybody else. And so we all had to learn how to juggle three tennis balls before we could pass the class. So I can't unicycle, but I can juggle three tennis balls for a little bit.
Awesome. I unicycle. I juggle a little bit, but
I can juggle. Well, we should have a juggling contest. All three of us.
There you go.
After Hours podcast.
So you juggle a lot of things. You wear a lot of hats.
I juggle a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats. And what I do, and like my passion, my heart, is to help people and walk them through the process of living authentically, living freely into who God created them to be. And that is like my song, that's my life song. My goal in life is to see every single person walking freely. And that it ties directly into my story with relationships and my faith and family and friendships and dating and jobs and all of that. For so long, I wore so many masks and filters that held me back from being who God truly created me to be. And so through the last several years, I've just been on this journey of just peeling back the layers and going, wow, there's so much freedom when I get to walk in my design and when I get to operate in my design and I get to just live that out. And so part of that process for me has been learning how to, one, be self-aware, two, show myself some self-love, three, grieve parts of my story and the pain and the hurt that I've been through, acknowledge those, not stuff those, not put a nice little face on, but just really like grieve the parts of my story and allow God to come in and heal those parts of my story and flourish and interact in the world with this confidence. And so the way that I do that a couple different ways. I have a podcast that I host called Grace for the Growth, where we are embracing the messy and just show up raw and real and have conversations about this. And then also I do a lot of content on Instagram and show up that way. And then I also have some programs too that I have where I'm helping people walk through this authentic living. So it has been a joy of my life, and I'm learning things along the way, constantly learning things along the way. I tell every single listener, every single client, like, I'm just a few steps ahead of you, but I believe that this is a lifelong journey and a lifelong process. And so we are all figuring this out together of what it means. And so specifically when it comes to singleness, that's been a huge part of this because, again, I grew up in the South. If you're not married by 23, like, it's like, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? Like, are you fine? Like, what's mm-hmm. wrong with you? You didn't find your ring by spring. And I went to a private Christian college as well. And so, like, good gracious, like, what does that look like going through your 20s? I'm in my early 30s now, but, like, what does that look like going through your 20s single? And what do I do? Because I wasn't surrounded by people who did singleness in their 20s. And so I just felt like I was kind of charting off onto my own path and figuring this out. And thankfully I've been surrounded by community along the way and I've been able to meet a lot of people who are on this journey as well. But what does that look like? No one told me what it looked like to adult single. No one told me what it looked like to pursue the Lord. No one told me what it looked like to date in a way as adults, not as college students, not as high schoolers, but as full-grown adults. And so it's been quite the journey. And like I said, I'm still on it. I'm still navigating it. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to share the highs, lows, and ups and downs with anybody who wants to listen and wants to be a part of it with me.
Yeah, so you were talking about kind of even dating. You know, I'm in my early 30s as well, and it does get complicated, right? What have you, I would be really interested in your thoughts or your experience between what it looked like in your mid-20s, later 20s, to then early 30s, because you hit 30. It's like this age that everyone is aware of, right? It's this, oh no, everything I am when I hit 30 is all I'll ever be. Right? That's kind of this fear. It's like almost like it's set in stone. I can't change. What have you maybe seen? What have you learned in the process? What has kind of been the things that have stuck out to you? Maybe that you had to relearn as you hit your 30s and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a great question. My late 20s was also marked by the pandemic, which I think we can't ignore the shift in dating culture, Christian and non-Christian, that happened over the course of the pandemic. I think it's a very significant change. I talked to friends who were dating before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and after, and it's very different. And so even friends who got married right before the pandemic, I'm like, it's a whole different world out there. So I don't think I can ignore how the shift in culture, for one, has changed over the last 3 years, and how what dating looks like, how we operate our lives, how we live our lives, what we value. Like, there's just been this overall shift. So I think that's one thing. But on a personal note, for me specifically, what dating in my 30s has looked like has been believing that I am worth being loved for exactly who I am. I think in my 20s, I had this thought or mindset, whether it was intentional or conscious or subconscious, of, okay, well, I'm going to choose to love somebody. I'm going to find somebody, choose to love somebody, and we're going to grow up together. We're going to figure out a lot of things together. And I still think that'll be the case if I meet someone in my 30s. But the thing about my 30s now is, like, there are some things that I know about myself now that are not changing. There are some things that I know about myself that I'm like, wow, this is so valuable. And I've let other people make me, I don't know, question that, make me wonder, okay, is this really lovable? Is this really admirable? Am I too much? Am I too difficult? Am I too hard to love? And I think this freedom that I found in dating in my 30s is I have learned to love my single life so much, and I've learned to love the intimacy that I have with the Lord, and I've learned to love my life so much that if I am going to invite somebody else into my life in a romantic way, that situation has to enhance my life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Because I love my life. I can say that with confidence, and I couldn't say that several years ago. Mm-hmm. I love my life. I have vision for my life, my own life. I have goals for my own life. I have desires. I have relationships and friendships and a relationship with the Lord. And do I desire partnership? Do I desire marriage? Absolutely. Do I hope mm-hmm. and pray that that's in the cards for me? Absolutely. But I love my life so much that I am not going to limit that or stoop that or mute part of that beautiful blossoming life to stoop to somebody's expectations of me. And so really what it's come down to is when I'm dating, I am dating for somebody who, one, do I enjoy being around this person? Because I'm way too old to date people I don't like hanging out with. Like, period. Like, let's just go there. Yeah. But then also, too, do I feel like I can be myself? And do I feel like I don't get lost in the relationship, in the connection? Because I've dated those people as well, where you start dating them and you're a few weeks or a few months in and you're like, whoa, where's Courtney? Where did she go? Like, I have no idea. She's kind of like formed and like changed into this different person. And so that's one thing. And then the other thing is, what does this person enhance to my life? And I'm not sitting here and going like, take me or leave me, like I'm never going to change. No, like I totally am. Like, I believe that partnerships take sacrifice and compromise, and you're building a life together and all that kind of stuff. But if my life isn't enhanced with somebody else in it, like if I love my single life better than life with someone else in it, like, oh, I'm going to really have to evaluate that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't say that before. And I think part of that, too, has been breaking down idolizing marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is a cultural thing, whether that's where I grew up, whether that's growing up in the church, there was this like, oh, like that's the progression of life. You get married and have kids. And so I think a lot of times we as a culture, and I not even talking about everybody else, like talking about me, like I had to really search my heart and go, Lord, like I am so sorry where I have idolized marriage and I've made marriage the goal rather than my life and my relationship with you, Lord, the goal. And so if I am choosing marriage, if I am choosing dating, if I am choosing companionship, if I am choosing to combat loneliness over living who God created me to be and living in the fullness and freedom of who He's created me to be, I have a conviction about that now. And I didn't have that before. And so part of the roundabout way of saying is dating in my 30s is looking like if I get married versus when I get married. And I don't say that with any less hope, even though it sounds like a lot less hope. But I'm not going to settle or degrade my life in any way to settle for marriage over thriving in who God's created me to be.
Yeah.
And I think I would have adapted, and I think I would have sacrificed and given up a lot of things in my 20s to settle for marriage. And I just believe it's just the grace of God that mm-hmm. I was able to get to this point. I look at not getting married until at least my 30s and beyond as such a gift from the Lord, because of all the things I've been able to learn about myself and the life that I've been able to build that I absolutely love.
Yeah. And I just love how you reinforce like so much of what we share on the podcast, because I like people to also hear it from other people, not just us, because yeah. that gives more validation behind it. It's a fact of like, you know, when you do your singleness well, like you are able to hold to your standards much better. You are not going to compromise on the values that God has for you. And it's going to allow you to like not settle for something that is less than what God has for you. And also, like, you know, if a relationship is just not going in the direction it should, it's not God honoring, it's like, hey, singleness should not be a scary thing to revert back to. Yeah. Like, it should be like, well, like, deuces, I'm gonna go back to being single. And it's like, that's an okay thing. Like, I'm happy with that. And you know what, like, it's good to hope, good to pray, you know, and believe that God has something better for you, but just trusting him along the way. And there's so much balance that comes along all through that, and in the in the hope, in the contentment, hope in Christ, hope in, you know, finding a marriage someday. You know, there's definitely always a lot to navigate through that. But yeah, I mean,
definitely.
Yeah.
I tell this story. I was, this is sometime last year, and I had been talking to this guy for a few weeks, and I just it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. Like, I was having fun, but it just wasn't spark. Like, it just wasn't magic. And I don't mean that in a Hollywood way. I mean that in a Courtney feels like she comes more alive and is more who God created her to be around this person. It was like, he didn't tear me down in any way. It was just kind of like neutral field. And I remember I was tossing and turning. And at this point we had been going on dates for a while, and I felt like I was kind of needing to make a decision, and I was going back and forth, and I was like, I don't know. I just don't feel like this is it. And I remember waking up at 3:30 in the morning, and I sat straight up and I was like, Lord, is this it? Is this it? And God was like, it doesn't have to be. And there's nothing wrong with him. It wasn't it. And it wasn't something that enhanced me. And I was like, then why do I feel all this? And my sister asked me, she said, as I was processing with her later, she said, what I want to ask you is, are you continuing to see him because you believe that there is something there that is kingdom minded, that will change the world, that will enhance your calling? Or are you continuing to be with him because you enjoy companionship? And that just opened my eyes to realize, okay, this is somebody I could choose to continue on with, but I know that, and I believe that there is something about kingdom-minded couples and kingdom-minded, crazy, on fire, here we go, we're going to change the world. I believe that I'm complete myself, and I believe that my calling is complete, but I do believe that if I get married, that my calling has exponential impact because of the partnership that I could have in marriage. And so what does that look like? What does that look like in not settling for that? There's a lot of people you can choose to marry. There's a lot of people that you can choose to date. But what kind of life do you want to live? And where is that alignment? And where is that calling, those callings aligned? And by callings aligned, I don't mean I want to do youth ministry and you also want to do youth ministry. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But callings aligned as in, hey, our hearts are connected. Our hearts are aligned. We challenge each other. We push each other. I am stronger and I am a better Courtney because of this person in my life. And until that happens, I'm not going to settle for anything less. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been a huge part of my growth journey. But what it required me to do is, like you said, me to understand and love my singleness and live my singleness well, with confidence, with authority, with understanding who God's created me to be. And that continued knowledge of pursuing that in the best that I can.
Yeah. Really now, good. How do you encourage a person to get into the place where they can love their singleness?
A lot of prayer, first of all.
Yeah.
A lot of prayer, first of all. My story includes something that I like to call solo dates. Mm-hmm. So I am a really big extrovert. I'm a really big people person. As a college student, as a high schooler, hated being alone. Did not like my own company. Did not like me, myself, and I. I just don't know why. I avoided being alone at all costs. And I kind of fell into this practice of solo dates. So what solo dates are is it's basically planning an intentional time with you by yourself, putting all the intentionality of it that you would expect of a sweet, sweet date, but you do it by yourself. And so I kind of fell into this because I was living in Central Florida at the time, about 30 minutes from Disney World, and I got my first big girl job and had enough money to buy a Florida resident Disney annual pass. and I wanted to make the most out of it, and I wanted to get my money's worth. And sometimes my friends couldn't go with me, and I was like, well, I have to get my money's worth out of this. And so I started going to Disney World by myself after work and started interacting with people around me and cast members, you know, their employees, and girls dressed up as princesses. And just, I just realized I was coming home from those moments feeling so full, and I was by myself. I was around a lot of people, so the extroverted in me was very happy, but I was by myself, and there was such good concentrated times with the Lord. And then I moved from there, and I found something else, and I found something else, and I realized how healthy it was for me to just show myself a little love and a little self-care. And so I started implementing these practices where at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, I would do something either out or in where I was intentionally planning time for me, and not just like, oh, I'm just going to sit and, you know, make sure I get done my chores or whatever, but just like, wow, I've like really wanted to see that movie, or I've always wanted to visit this park before, or I really would love to like order takeout in, like, mm-hmm. that would be such a fun date to order takeout and like light a candle and like listen to jazz music. Like, why would I not do that for myself? And as I started making these very practical, intentional plans of solo dates, I started realizing the way that the Lord would meet me there, and the way that whenever I would go out specifically on solo dates, whether it was like going to a restaurant by myself or going to the movies by myself or walking around downtown or whatever it was, like, I just always had the most beautiful interactions with people or with humans, or just like, I can't tell you how many times I've been out and I've gotten free stuff. Like, I've gone out and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to like get takeout. I'm going to order coffee, and then I'm going to go sit at the park. And like, I get there and like, for some reason, this is free, or I have enough points for this. And I'm like, wow, Lord, like, you're just there. Like, you just show up and you just meet me there in just the littlest ways. And through that, it's been one of the ways of how I've learned to love my singleness, because I believe that I'm worthy of that attention, of that investment, of that love, of that time, of that, you know, financial investment in that some cases. And so that's how I show love to myself. And so what it also has done from a dating perspective is it's like, okay, look, I know how to date myself now. So I know what makes me feel loved. I know what makes me feel appreciated. I know what kind of activities I love to spend my time doing. Like, I have spent time dating myself. And so that has shown up in a lot of beneficial ways when I'm dating other people as well. And so yeah, learning to love the single life as a practical way has been learning how to solo date really, really well. And get creative about it. And it's just this fun little adventure that I get to do every week. And I still do it 8 years later, almost every single week. And I love it.
That's cool. That do you ever go on like a solo vacation?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That's one of the best
solo
ones
vacations,
you've done.
Solo road trips. I have done like weekends away where I just have like either picked like a retreat, or I have picked like, okay, I'm going to go and meet up with a friend, but I'm going to pad it with a day or two before mm-hmm. or after, like just for me. So I've done that. The other thing I've done, this is a staycation, but I realized as an entrepreneur as well that like in business or in like churches or anything like that, like a lot of times we'll have quarterly meetings and we'll have annual retreats where we like set plans for finances and the calendar and all these different things. And I remember at one point a few years ago being like, man, I can't wait to like do that like for my family. Like, that sounds so fun, like to do like a retreat planning for the year. And the Lord was like, you can do that now. And so that's one mm-hmm. of the things that I love doing at the beginning of every single year is I do a Courtney, Leo, me, myself, and I's household retreat, and where I like plan out like, okay, what is this year going to look like? What am I going to save for? What goals do I have financially? What goals do I have with my time? What trips? Like, what do I want to invest in? All of that stuff, and then get to reevaluate it. And so that's my at home retreat too. But it all comes down to But asking myself the question, do I believe that I am worth dates and retreats and vacations now? Or do I feel like, oh, I can't do any of these fun things unless I have somebody?
Yeah.
And so for me, the decision was, no, I'm going to figure out how to walk in confidence and go, no, I'm worth this. I really am worth this.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think a lot of people allow not being in a relationship to hold them back from going and doing the things that they want to. And I think it's great that you're able to just get out there and experience that. And it's a muscle that needs exercised, you know, getting out and doing things you haven't done before. And especially when it's like you're going and doing these things on your own. And that's totally exciting though.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. I tell people all the time. So I've taught masterclasses on solo dates and I'm like, I've been doing this for 8 years. Like, I do not expect anyone to jump in and have the practice and the confidence and the gumption to do what I've done. If you do day one, props to you. But like, it takes time and it takes time to build. And so in those classes, we start off really, really small and we start off with small goals and small decisions to build that. Because like you said, it is a muscle that needs to be strengthened and worked on for sure.
With singleness, and you've kind of touched on it a little bit, the idea of vision for yourself, how has that affected your enjoyment of singleness, your ability to be confident? Because I think we have such a vision for married people in church, but we don't have this ability to show vision for single people. What have you seen in your own life? How have you carved that vision out? I know you referenced kind of you have a vision for your life, because I think that's oftentimes a lot of what single people are missing is, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I don't know where I want to be in 5 years. What have you seen? Maybe what steps did you take to carve that out? What did you pursue? What did that look like in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another mindset barrier that I had to work through and that I still have to work through. Like it's not perfect, but yeah, growing up, you know, like I said at the beginning of the episode, you don't think about being single in your 20s and 30s. You don't think about what that looks like. And so I feel like there's just kind of been this question mark, this like kind of default open box of, oh, I don't need to like plan or have vision for my life because I don't know what it's going to look like because I don't know who I'm going to marry one day. And I realized that created in me a passive life. Because I was just sitting around and waiting for stuff to happen. I was waiting for the next step. I wasn't taking the driver's seat of my own life. And I don't see that very often. I don't see us talking very often about what does it look like for singles to have vision because, I don't know, it almost sounds selfish. It almost sounds like, oh, well, you're planning this whole life. What if someone comes across your path and like just derails your whole plan? And then that goes back to the question, you know, we talked about earlier about alignment and all of that stuff. So the real question is your vision and your plan rooted in what the Lord is saying to you? Is your real vision rooted there? Where is your vision? Is your vision self goals? Are they, okay, this is what I want. Why? Is it from the Lord? Is it vision from the Lord? And so for me, some of those vision steps, just kind of generally, some of those vision steps have been, okay, like, where do I want to live? What kind of house do I want to live in? How do I view my life? How do I view my finances? How do I view that? This is silly, but this has been really helpful for me. So I'm the only single sibling in my family, and I have two little dogs, and I have had to, like, just for my own mental mindset shift, like when we're talking about family stuff, and thankfully, like, my parents have a spot where, like, we can bring, like, all the grandkids, all the dogs, like, all that kind of stuff. But, like, I've had to actually be, like, sound like a crazy dog mom and be like, no, me and my boys are coming over now, or we're going to be there at 12. It's me and dogs. And I'm talking about my dogs as kids, but it's had to be a mindset shift for me to be like, okay, like, my sister is bringing her children and her husband and all of that. And it was really easy for me to be like, well, well, I'm just here. Like, I'm just leftover. Like, I'm just default. And really take the reins and go, no, like, I have a household. Mm-hmm. I make decisions on my own. Like, I make decisions for me. You know, and sometimes it's like, and I make decisions for me and my dogs. Like, it's so silly, but it has been such a helpful mindset shift of like, okay, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to decide as our little family? And our little family is me and animals, but that's what it is today. And that, again, those are mindsets that take time to like retrain my brain in thinking that, oh, as a single, like, I can't have plans. I can't have vision. Like, I can't make big decisions down the road 5-10 years now. And so now the way that I speak, again, makes me sound like a crazy dog mom, and I'm really not. But the way that I speak is like, okay, like, what kind of life do I want us to live? Meaning me and my two animals. Like, what kind of life do I want us to live? What kind of place do I want us to live in? What do we want to do with our life? What income goals do I have? That is a huge thing that I work with singles, especially single women. I can't tell you how much I talk to single women about career goals, because a lot of us, and it's not all whatsoever, but a lot of us, especially those that grew up in the church, never thought about career goals. Like, mm-hmm. Never thought about career promotions, never thought about what that would look like, because it's like, I don't want to speak for every Christian woman out there, but I definitely did not think I'd be living single income myself, responsible mm-hmm. for my entire life at 30. Like, that was never a thought. And so the decisions I've had to make career-wise and a lot of things like that as women, we're not often taught. And so what does that look like for us to make goals and vision career-wise and all that? And so I can say now, like, I have dreams for my career. I have goals for my career. I have goals for what I want to do and what I want to accomplish financially and what I want that to look like. And if I get married and if I become a mom, like, will those adapt? Yeah, probably. But I am still going to have vision and goals and drive in all areas of my life, ministry, career, all of that now, today, because that's what I have to be working towards. That's what I have to be working towards today in order to live this full life where I'm at today.
Yeah. Like, I'm a huge advocate of women having the vision for God's design for women, mm-hmm. in the sense mm-hmm. of, you know, being able to be mothers, staying at home mothers, raising their children, and being godly wives, and that's fantastic. But there's also the element of not just honing in on just that, because mm-hmm. you know, if you think of a person who is like, yeah, I want to be a wife and a mother someday, it's like, cool, those are great things, but in the process of getting to that point, where is God leading you? What does God want you to be doing? Because, like, are you just going to stand in a line and have Emperor Kuzco come around and be like, you know, too fat, ugly hair, da da da, and just like writing off like all these different things until, you know, one comes along and says, oh, okay, perfect. And then, like, mm-hmm. bam, ready to be a submissive wife. Like, you have to live a life that's interesting. You know, mm-hmm. you have to be able to put yourself out there. You have to be doing what you feel God is calling you to do. You know, besides the feeling of a calling of being a wife and a mother, I think it's good to pursue calling in what he might have for you in career, what he might have for you in missions, and just chasing after what he has for you relentlessly, and just living a good, fun, interesting life, dating yourself, getting out and doing things that intimidate you and enjoying that. So, you know, it's, you know, like you said, it's a beautiful desire to have that, but I feel like that's been, you know, coming across in culture a lot, where, you know, there's a pushback of femininity, which is good, because there's been a push against it, and we do need to push back, but we need to make sure that we're not just saying the only thing you should be pursuing is being a wife and a mother, because you don't have to choose a career or that, because if there's something you want to do career-wise, you should go and go after that. And when the time comes, if God calls you into marriage, if God calls you to be a mother, then that's when you decide, okay, like, that's something that you and your spouse decide together about how that family unit is going to be, and and you know, I feel like there's so much benefit of having a stay-at-home wife and somebody that's mothering the children, because they're so good at it. And it's like, I love my daughter, and I'm a little bit jealous of my wife being able to spend all day with her. But one thing I found out as a father, like, there's no such thing as too much time with your kids. And for that as an opportunity for women to look at it as a curse to be a stay-at-home mom, like, honestly hurts personally, because just because of how much love I have for my daughter, you know, the idea for a mother to spend all day with him, fantastic. It's a great, wonderful, beautiful thing. But in the meantime, look for what God's calling you towards in the moment. And I think it's really important. I think it's something you're really good at.
And I think, you know, not every family has that privilege to do that. Mm-hmm. And I grew up privileged being able to be raised by a stay-at-home mom, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. But that also means that I did not enter the workforce with having career goals or having, like, what does that look like? What does that look like for me to step into leadership in a big company? Like, I can do that. Like, I can build a life and set myself up. And I think that's just been the shift for me, is I can sit and I can just wait and I can just get by and I can check the box and I can, you know, just try to make sure that everything is covered and paid for, or I can be a good steward of the opportunities that the Lord has placed in front of me right now as a single. And whether it is with my job or with ministry or whatever it is, and I can steward those opportunities really, really well. And I can, now I get to be generous and I get to build so much legacy in my life and support so many people that I love and pour into so many people that I love in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was just sitting twiddling my thumbs and waiting for if marriage is going to come or not, because it's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's not guaranteed. I might never be married. And so what do I want the next 50, 70 years of my life to look like? And those are questions I've had to ask myself and I've had to sit with. Do I sit here and go, oh, I'm never going to get married? No, not. But I also have had to sit here and go, okay, how can I love the life that I have, live it fully, live it to the best that I can, steward every opportunity that I can for what it is today? And if I get married and if I become a mother one day, I'll cross that bridge when I get there and make adjustments and make decisions when I get there. But I'm not there today. And so when we talk about vision, going back to your question, when we talk about vision for your life as singles, I can sit here and I can dream about what my vision or what my goals would be as a wife and mom. But the reality is that's my marriage goal. And that's not guaranteed to me. So how, as a single, do I get to live fully in a way that could potentially prepare me to be a better wife and mother, but how can I steward and how can I step into goals fully now as a single, versus just saying, okay, well, one day I really, really do want to be a wife and mother, and so I'm just going to sit and wait around until that happens, or I'm just going to get by until that happens. No, the Lord has provided me with a lot of special opportunities to meet people and make an impact on the world as a single, and so I get to step into those, and that feels absolutely wonderful, and I'm going to steward every moment that I have for now. And that might change, but for now, that's where I'm at today.
That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah, I think a lot of single people, it's very common. We hear it all the time. Oh, I'm just like going to sit here and wait until I find someone. And it's such a stunt, like a stunted move. Like, you don't grow, you don't find who you are, you don't experience what God's put in you and how he's created you to be and experience the desires that he's put on your heart. And I think it's because it's scary to find a vision on a different path than is maybe common, right? I think that's the issue, is a lot of times marriage is like a default. It's like, oh, this is what everyone is doing, so there's less risk in it because it's like this herd mentality. Okay, I'm going to be good if I'm doing what everyone else is doing. And how often is God saying, I don't want you to be like everyone else. I don't want you to... And what I've seen is it doesn't matter if it's in relationships and finances. God's going to test you in a way where you don't want to be tested, in a way where you where he pulls you out of the crowd and shows you how to be different so that he can really, you know, get glory from that. And it's very irresponsible of us to take our talents, take the things God's given us, and just bury them until we find it ready to be used. Or, but again, there's that risk. There's that level of, okay, God, what are you going to do with what you've given me? Or what can I do with what you've given me? What, how do we do this? And, you know, you go to the, go to Proverbs, and it always talks about, you know, a man plans his step, but the Lord directs his path. It's like, and then it talks about how can a man understand his ways? Like, you don't need to figure out what's going on in your life. You have to be willing to be used by God. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest challenges in singleness is, okay, God, what are we doing? And help me to continue going.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we doing? And this is a lot different than I've thought my entire life was going to look like. So can you help me?
A lot of trust.
Can you help me figure this out? I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I do want to add, you know, I've, as much as I have learned to love my singleness, and I love that this podcast is called Thriving in Singleness, because I'm like, yes, I feel like I am finally getting to that place in my life over these last few years. I think it would be unfair of me to not talk about the grieving that comes from grieving expectations lost.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to where I am walking in confidence and walking in, I'm going to steward this season well, and I'm going to self-care and self-love and all of this stuff. I didn't get here without the grieving process. Mm-hmm. I didn't get here without being mad and being sad and saying, God, this is hard. I didn't want this. Like, I didn't, this wasn't what I would have chosen. If you would have given me two paths, singleness or marriage, this wasn't what I would have picked. And grieving that this is not what I thought my life would look like, and grieving the fact that I'm like, wow, like I have just a strong desire to raise beautiful, beautiful children. And I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I don't know what that will look like, if I will even get the opportunity to do that. And so I think it would be wrong of me to not acknowledge the grief of expectations being changed and saying, I didn't plan on this, to what you said, like, this is not the decision I would have made, or this is not what I thought life would look like at all. I never, as a kid and a teenager and a college student, never planned to be single in my 30s. And yet here I am. And whether the expectation is, hey, I'm single and I didn't think this will happen, or whether it is, hey, I thought I was going to marry this person and it didn't work out, whatever the situation is, there is a lot of healing that comes when we allow ourselves to grieve and we allow ourselves to feel deeply those emotions. And they're not too big for the Lord. They're not too much for the Lord. And you can't scare him away. He can hold it. He can hold it really well. He can hold your sadness. He can hold your grief. You can get mad at him. You can be sad with him. He can take it. He can handle it. And I think for me, I don't get to this place of loving my singleness without mentioning the grief part. And the grief that still happens, it still happens. Mm-hmm. I still have moments where I'm sitting and it's either like the perfect moment in the car, or the perfect song, or like the perfect moment here and there. And I'm just like full of tears and full of sorrow and going, oh man, you know, today this really stinks. This really stinks today. And this is really hard today. And so I hope that if anybody listens and hears, oh wow, like, you just absolutely love your singleness, like, that you also realize, no, I also cry about it a lot. Like, I'm also really sad about it a lot. Yeah. And it's also really hard. And me and the Lord have really heart-to-heart conversations about it too. Like, it's not just this, like, oh my gosh, I love being single. Like, take me, like, whatever. Like, no, it's also really hard. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you give yourself permission to grieve. Yeah. And give yourself permission to step into the arms of your Heavenly Father, who loves you so much and can hold all of that. Because he's there. He's really there for you. And you can't scare him away. And there's a lot of peace and a lot of purpose that comes in. I can have joy one second. I can love my singleness. And oh, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've protected me from and kept me from. Thank you for keeping me out of that terrible relationship. Thank you for protecting me here. Thank you for this provision here. But also, I'm really sad and this is really hard. And I don't always like that my family is me and my two dogs. I don't always love that. Mm-hmm. And that's really sad and really hard for me today. And that's okay. So give yourself permission to grieve with the Lord.
Wow, I really appreciate you getting very real in that, because that's so true. You know, there's areas where there needs to be grief and areas where grief is okay. You know, grief mm-hmm. is not a sign of a lack of faith. You know, I don't want our listeners to be under the impression that because they feel a dissatisfaction with being single, that they're not trusting God enough.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to be under the impression that I forget what that's like. You know, it's very true. It's very difficult. And I want all my listeners to know, I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you. Like, this is difficult and I want to help you. I want God to use me to allow people to do singleness well. So if God calls them into marriage, they can do marriage well. And, you know, the grieving process is so real, and that's all a part of the journey. And the important part is how we handle that grief. You know, is that a grief that we're going towards God with? Or are we using that grief to feel a sense of disownment from God because he's not giving us what is on our heart's desire? And so it really reveals a lot. And it brings us to places that forces us to be real with ourselves. It forces us to be real with our faith and forces us to be real with our relationship with God. But most importantly, we need to allow those things to draw us closer to the Lord and trust in him and what he has for us, because he can make your single life more incredible than anything you could have possibly imagined otherwise.
Yeah.
If he calls you into that. And it's a difficult one to live by, and it's going to be an up and down struggle. Like, it's still going to be a roller coaster. But God has so many incredible things for us, and I really hope that people can be impacted by what you just said. Because that felt real. It really did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was. It was hard.
Yeah.
A hard journey to come through. But I think, you know, I can't sit here and talk about living authentically and living free without talking about, okay, part of living authentically is acknowledging the hard parts and sitting there and sitting in the grief. And we look all through the scripture, and Jesus didn't shy away from grief.
Yeah.
He didn't. He didn't himself shy away from grief, but also he didn't shun anyone walking through grief. Mm-hmm. And so that leads me to believe that it's okay. Yeah. And it's healthy. And I spent way too many years, whether it was about my singleness or other hurt or other pain, stuffing or trying to minimize my feelings. Because I was like, oh gosh, like I can't, either it was a comparison game, like I can't compare my grief to others, or I can't, my story is not as traumatic as someone else's, or whatever the reason may be. And I have found so much peace and have felt God's touch on my life, and have also felt his exponential provision in my life as I've started to allow him into the grieving process. And part of those like deep, deep wounds and deep things or fears or sadness that I don't even want to verbalize for whatever reason, a whole other discussion, but there's a lot of freedom that comes there when we allow Lord into that grieving process. He never shied away from it and he never shunned anyone for it. And so that gives me hope. Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't mean grieving and being sad and being mad does not mean that your faith is less or that you don't have enough faith or any of those other messages. Like, you know, when you're not looking for them, that's when they're going to show up. Yeah. Like any of those things, like any of those things that have been spoken over and over and over again that have created these subliminal mindsets. Like there's so many mindsets as singles that we've just been fed over and over and over again. And I'm sorry, one, first of all, but two, part of that journey of reworking those mindsets and saying, hey, like, I'm worth sitting in the driver's seat of my life. I am worth, like, moving forward and being a good steward of what I have now. And all of that is also being honest and being real about the parts that aren't fun or sad or miss expectations. Then there can still be faith there. Still be faith.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, in my story, I definitely experienced the grief. I definitely experienced the surrender and in my story, which I don't preach as a magic formula. You know, I met my wife within 2 weeks after I'd learned to finally surrender. That was simply a lesson that God needed me to change my heart in. And I don't look at anybody who is still single in their 30s as somebody with less faith.
Yeah.
You know, I fully believe that for so many, you know, not all, of course, but like there's so many who have surrendered to the Lord. But one thing that I did not experience, which many like yourself are experiencing, and I'm glad you're able to verbalize, is that struggle that still comes through, even though there's that trust in the Lord and in wherever direction he takes your life, that there's still some pain within that. There's still difficulty to be worked through. And that's one thing where I'm so glad you can come on the podcast and speak to that, because I can't speak on that nearly as well. But I'm glad that God altered my heart in a way that encourages me to do this podcast and have people like yourself come and share that. Because that's something that people really need to hear. And I just want this podcast to be exactly what I needed to hear before when I was struggling with my singleness. And for anybody else that's in the same place that has the desire to be married. But it's tough. I'm not going to lie. I probably wouldn't have listened to this podcast if I was single, because I was so stubborn in my singleness that I'm like, no, I don't want to thrive in singleness. I want to thrive in marriage. Yeah. Like, not for me. Nope. Like, but I would listen to it for 2 weeks. I might have kind of like Jackson Southern was saying on a recent episode, like he had a change in his heart and just like blew through all the episodes like in no time. That probably would have been me in the 2 weeks before I met my wife. I was like, okay, like singleness is great. I'm going to do this. But in reality, most of my singleness, I would have blown this podcast right off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you shared that little bit of it. And I think another thing to push through and just to encourage people is like, you're not being punished because you're single. It's not a punishment. It's not an exile. It's not a, you know, yes, there might be things that you have the opportunity to learn and grow in your singleness, but this isn't grade school. It's not the Lord just sitting here and going, oh gosh, you failed that test again. You failed that test again. Whoops, still single, still single, still single. Like, you're not being punished. Your singleness isn't a punishment. And I know sometimes it feels that way. And I know sometimes singleness feels like an exile. And it's not. And so what are you going to do in this season? What are you going to do in this chapter? And the reason I say that is because that will also impact our relationship with the Lord. While it's absolutely amazing in your story that the Lord's like, come on, like, I need you to learn this. And then boom, like, there you go. You meet her. Like, what a gift. And I know so many stories like that, and that might happen, but even if that doesn't happen for you, it doesn't mean that you didn't do what God asked you to do, or that you are being punished or still left in exile. And I think there was definitely a part in my 20s where I was like, God, what else do I have to do? And it was all behavior, and it was all about doing, and it was all about achieving in my faith so that I could win the prize of not being single. Mm-hmm. And I just had to realize, like, no, like, it's not the prize. It's not the prize. Being the person that God created me to be and living on this planet fully and do what he's asked me to do and called me to do. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate vision. And if I get to do that alongside of a partner, wonderful, wonderful, absolutely amazing. And so, yeah, singleness is not a punishment or an exile. It's just a season.
Awesome. That's good. So Courtney, what is a way that we can be praying for you?
Oh, goodness. Thank you so much for asking. I would say right now, without going into so many details, talking about vision for your life, I am at a pivotal point in my life in a lot of different areas that, once again, did not think that I was going to have to be making some of these decisions. But here I am as a single, and so I feel confident and excited about making these big decisions. But yeah, I didn't think I would have to be doing them on my own. And so, stepping out and listening to the Lord. And so I'm just really praying for and asking for prayer for clarity, for, understanding, for being able to hear the Lord's voice clearly in that and being authentic through that, being authentically me, not worrying about pressure of trying to be anything else other than myself and just trying to live that out and steward the opportunities the Lord has in front of me.
All right. Awesome. We'll definitely be praying for you on that.
Thank you.
So what is a verse that has been on your heart or a verse that is an all-time favorite verse of yours?
Yes. So I have two. My like all-time favorite that I just have in me all the time is Ephesians 3:20, where we talk about how the Lord is immeasurably more able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, because I like to put God in the box. And I like to slap my own humanity onto what God can do. And he's constantly challenging me over and over and over again. I want to bless you in incredible ways, but you keep putting me in a box and you keep limiting me. And so that's the verse that is written everywhere, that he is a God that can do more than I could ask for him and more than I can imagine. And it challenges me to get out of the way and to get out of what he's doing. And the verse that he showed me recently, and I just did a podcast episode on this, is in John 10:10, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking about how he's talking about him as the good shepherd. And John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And so what the Lord's been speaking to me and reminding me is that he didn't just come so that we can live, and he didn't just come so that we could just be saved. Yes, he came for all those things, but he said, and have it more abundantly, so you can come live and have it more abundantly. And so, I've been asking myself the question, what does it look like to live abundantly, to live in God's abundance? And am I ready and am I positioned to receive the abundance that he has for me? Or am I trying to limit what God can do by putting him in the box of my own human understanding? And so, yeah, those two verses are just all in my head right now. And really flowing through really the last 6 months of my life.
Excellent. Those are beautiful verses too. I like that. So where can our listeners be able to find your podcast as well as find you on social media?
Yeah. So my podcast is called Grace for the Growth with Courtney Leo. So you can find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I also have an Instagram handle with all the links at Grace for the Growth. So if you want specific podcast links, you can go there and it'll link you to all the places. And so that's the podcast. And then I am also very active on Instagram and TikTok. So my handle is at Courtney, and then there's a Y, an extra Y in the middle, Leo. So at Courtney Leo with an extra Y in the middle. And there you can find updates about all of the programs and all the events that I have going on, anything that's active. And then also what I love to tell people is I'm really active in DMs. So if you have any questions, need any encouragement whatsoever, I check DMs, I read DMs, I respond to DMs. It's a part of my daily routine. So awesome. Please never hesitate to reach out.
Fantastic. So yeah. And we'll also tag you on the social media and collaborate on some posts. So that'll also make it easy for people to find you in your podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. And it's just been such an awesome conversation and, and just awesome getting real with you on all this.
Thank you guys for hosting this space. I think it's a really, really important space and a really important topic. One I'm obviously very passionate about. So thanks for inviting me and letting me share a little bit of my heart and chat with y'all.
Absolutely. It's been a privilege to have you, Courtney. So everybody out there, be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with people you feel could benefit from listening to it. Really appreciate you joining us for this episode. So just make sure you are getting out there, get out there and seize the day, maximize every chapter in your life. We'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Look for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.